Blog Talk Radio.
Weather today in the greater Cincinnati area.
I love you so badly, I could.
They're solid plastic, so don't settle for imitation.
But the senator, while insisting he was not intoxicated, could not explain his nudity.
Welcome to Ringside Wrap,
a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on major pro wrestling and MMA promotions, the occasional history lesson, and interviews with legends of yesterday and stars of today. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Ringside Wrap.
All right, everybody, welcome to Ringside Wrap on this Wednesday, December 26, 2012, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the East Coast. I am Mike Sempervivi, not joined tonight by the legendary Les Thatcher, but instead joined by a voice you'll probably remember. We make fun of him a lot on this program now. at least Les does, Mr. Rich Tate. Rich, how are you, sir?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Not too bad, not too bad. As we talked about last week, we're going to be taking a little hiatus from the show for a while, at least going through the new year begins and everything. But I guess first things first, we'll get this out of the way. I haven't had a chance to talk to Les in the last couple of days. I've been all tied up with family and everything. But unfortunately, there's a reason that Les can't be on the program with us tonight.
Alice, Les's wife, unfortunately had some emergency surgery on Christmas Eve, and I missed talking to Les. He did leave me a message at about right before 6 this evening, just saying that based on the way things were going, he was going to stay with her tonight and would not be on the air with us, and he does send his apologies to us as well as the listeners that he can't be here on the final show, but of course he hopes we will return and that you'll return with us when the time's right for us to make a comeback. And he also wanted to make sure everybody, he also just wanted to pass along best wishes for a happy new year, as do we all.
I don't know how it was for you. A good holiday for me. I have a 5-year-old son, as everyone probably knows by now. So, yeah, he cleaned up pretty good. It's amazing. I didn't think he was this good for Santa to make this type of visit, but he lucked out again this year. So, how was over the Tate household?
Christmas was good. It's the typical Christmas, typical family stuff. We didn't really go anywhere. We stay at home, and people come to us, which is always nice. Big dinner, and now we're one kid short because Grandma takes one with her, and then over the course of the 2-week school break, we kind of transport one back down and forth and this, that, and the other so she can kind of see all three of them individually over the Christmas break. She enjoys that very much, as do the kids.
Well, so you get, even though Les isn't going to be here with us this evening, even though it's the last show, got some of our cronies are going to be calling in here tonight. We're only going to go for about an hour or so this evening. And if anybody wants to call in too, we really welcome you to do that. 347-325, brain locking on the last four here. Sorry, Rich.
I'm sorry. I'm in the middle of typing to Mr. Mooneyham to make sure he's got the number here. He's supposed to join us here at the top of the hour for the duration of the show. And Bob Evans as well will be calling in a little bit. Anyway, the number here, of course, is 347-324-5735. We do encourage callers to call in throughout the show tonight. Hopefully we'll have plenty of callers to just kind of let us know what you thought about the show, what you think about the network, or just any general stuff. You know, what were your favorite moments of the show's time? Were there any specific highlights? And one thing I would like to do is finish typing this word without misspelling it, and send that along on its way to make sure Mike gets in here. One thing I wanted to do, Mike, was just kind of lay out at the top of the show just kind of how we came to be, because I know we've really developed a huge listener base gradually over the years. But, you know, my association with Les actually goes back to about 2002 when I met him for the first time. And that was right around the time that GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com was my original baby, started up. And we just basically, stayed connected over the years. And as soon as the network started up, you know, I pulled him in to be an occasional co-host on the original Peach State Pandemonium show, which was actually the first show that GWH had, which is now more of a nostalgia show on Thursday nights, of course, with our good friends Mike Norris and Jerry Oates and Bobby Simmons. That show, of course, will continue on. But at any rate, worked with Les on and off for a while, and then Mike, actually, you came in the following year, and we started doing a show called Ringside Rap, which was mostly just focused on the local, or not local, the national stuff, WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, UFC, and whatnot. And it just kind of made sense, at least for me anyway, to kind of reduce my workload a little bit, to try to merge the shows and turn them into take the interview aspect that we had from Peach State Pandemonium and you know, the nostalgia stuff and mix it in with talking about the new stuff, and also interview some of the newer guys, some of the younger up-and-coming talent. And that is what's actually been Ringside Rap since 2010, when our first guest was Danny Hodge. Now, you may want to talk a little bit about Danny Hodge and how excited you were about that, because that was awesome watching you enjoy that.
Oh, God, yeah, big time. I mean, there's a couple of shows, and more than a few shows, that stand out. The reason I love doing this show every week is, last week was a good example with Fields, and then, you know, with Ken Lucas, and a couple weeks ago, too, with Jerry Stubbs. I mean, to me, that's the greatest part about this show is talking to guys that, you know, again, that worked with Les and that Mike Mooneyham is known for a while, and just talking to these guys that don't necessarily do other shows and don't necessarily get the credit that they're due, unless, you know, working his whole career in the Southeast, you know, it's probably, the, as you know, one of the more disrespected regions of wrestling history. People kind of, you know, they don't give it the respect that it's due, but, I mean, having a chance to talk to all those guys, and again, you know, I think this Jerry Stubbs, to me, is the greatest example of that, too, because everybody that he has influenced, that he's taught, he's the one who doesn't get the credit for it, and it's nice to be able to talk to those guys and get their stories, but also, you know, help them get their due. And Danny Hodge obviously doesn't need, you know, our due to make him to obviously make him special or to you know, we have to talk about everything that he's done, but that the interviews of Danny Hodge, who I've loved since I was a little kid and was always fascinated by, being a, you know, a great amateur wrestler, being the first one that was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, was Hulk Hogan in 1984, it was Danny Hodge in the 50s. As far as being just a complete American treasure, and having the ability to speak with him twice, once in a long form interview, and then the other part of the Jack Briscoe tribute, which, you know, even as sad as that was, and I want to get your, you know, thoughts on this too, Rich, because as sad as that show was, and it was very sad, Buddy Colt, obviously, you know, the breaking up at the end. I mean, it was a very emotional show, but, you know, from top to bottom, we spoke to Harley Race and Danny Hodge and Dory Funk and Buddy and Jim Ross and J.J. Dillon. Jody Hamilton had a chance to be on. Steve Kern, Mr. Wrestling 2, Johnny Walker. They all had a chance to be on, and as sad as of a reason to have all of those guys on, that's going to be show two that I'm always going to, I'll never forget, because, again, you know, taking out the sadness of the whole thing to be able to speak to those guys and have them talk about their personal friend Jack Briscoe was I was really humbled to even have a little bit of a part in that.
Yeah, it was, you know, the tribute shows, that was, I think, the second one I'd put together like that. And, you know, the fact that those guys were so willing to come on and just share some time with us, it's always a pleasure to speak to some of those guys because we've talked to them before. Some of those we had on for the first time. You know, I remember Buddy Colt. I don't think any of us left the show with a dry eye after Buddy Colt's segment. Tell you what, let's go ahead and bring on Mike Mooneyham. He is on the line now, and he joins us. Mike, how are you this evening?
Doing great. Good evening, Rich. Mike, how are you guys?
Doing great. How was Christmas at the Mooneyhams?
It was really good. We went to my oldest son's house and you know, played with the grandkids and opened presents and ate some good food there, Mike.
I had a feeling you might do a little of that.
but overall, it was a very, very good Christmas. Thanks.
Awesome. We're going to spend a little more time with Mike here in a moment. Let's tell you what, we've had somebody on hold since basically the top of the show from down in the Gulf Coast area. We'll go to you with the 334 area code. You're on the line. Who is this calling?
This is Dennis Mitch from Montgomery, Alabama. How y'all doing tonight?
Hey, good. How are you, sir?
Great. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, Mike. I tell you, me and Mike Mooneyham's pretty good friends, and hope y'all had a good Christmas and all that. And, guys, I want to ask you something. How's the pro wrestling independent scene doing around the Columbus, Georgia area?
I'd probably be the most suited to answer that out of us, and I'm actually not that suited to answer it. Haven't been keeping up with the local scene much. I can tell you that I know GCW came back briefly, and we're trying to run some shows, and I think that we're going to do it on a monthly basis. I haven't noticed that they did it here in the last couple of months. I'm not real sure. I believe Drew Golden was running some promotion down in the Phoenix City area, which is probably the closest to it. So I'm not sure if that's still going or not. One thing I can tell you is if you check GWHnews.com, hit that area up, maybe drop some comments in or email Larry Goodman or Brian Slack. They'll be able to probably answer your question a little better.
Okay, one other question. I'll hang up and get y'all's comments. What? Right. I know Mike Mooneyham, I asked him about him a while back. I want to get y'all's, Rick and Mike's comments on what was y'all memories of the late Rip Hawk? Thank you.
Yeah, that was going to be one thing that I wanted to bring up and talk to Mike about, too. And since we did the show last, the profile, Rip Hawk, passed away, I believe it was on either last Friday or last Saturday. And Mike, I know not long ago, I don't believe, you actually had an interview with Rip, and he was down at the ranch in Texas. But you're probably best suited as far as his career goes, and certainly his life after the wrestling business, to speak a little bit about him. Again, obviously, never a good time for this to happen, especially around the holidays, but for the unfortunate passing of Rip, what are your memories of his career and as far as his life outside the business, Mike?
Oh, man, I've got so many memories. You know, Rip actually was one of my very best friends in the wrestling business for many, many years. I mean, you know, my association, or at least, you know, when I started following Rip was probably 48, 49 years ago. Rip was, you know, when you talk about mid-Atlantic legends, you know, the name Rip Hawk goes right at the top of the list. Rip and Swede Hansen were one of the greatest heel teams I ever saw. And you know, I knew Swede very well, too. We were all very good friends. And, boy, I tell you, it really just killed me when, you know, I heard the news about Rip. Rip passed away early Saturday morning in Hereford, Texas, where he had lived for the past, you know, 30 or so years. He loved Texas. He loved the wide open spaces. And it was sort of, you know, it was very much unlike his wrestling days when he was sort of a pre-Ric Flair guy, you know, cocky and arrogant. And, you know, they called him the Profile. He, you know, big city lights. He loved to party. And, you know, which was probably the reason that, you know, Ric Flair picked up a little more of his, you know, his mannerisms back in the early 70s when he was brought in as Rip's storyline nephew. And there's so many things to say about Rip that I guess it's hard to condense in just, you know, a few minutes. But suffice it to say, Rip was a legend in the business. He was a main eventer at the Keel for Sam Muchnick in St. Louis for many years. Sam loved Rip. And there was actually talk at one point of putting the NWA World title on Rip. He headlined against guys like Buddy Rogers, Johnny Valentine, Dick the Bruiser, you know, all of the main guys in St. Louis, and had a terrific run there for many years. And, of course, in the Carolinas, he was legendary. He and Sweet Hansen were the Blonde Bombers, and their matches with teams like George Becker and Johnny Weaver and the Scott Brothers. Nobody will ever forget those. And just a wonderful guy, very positive attitude. But, you know, we talked about it many times. Rip had a very good life. He lived 82 years. And it's not like a story where, you know, a wrestler dies young. He's in his 30s, 40s, even 50s. Rip had a long life, a good life, and he'd be the first to tell you that. So, you know, I'm going to miss him terribly. And we'll never forget. We'll never forget Rip.
Now, I gotta ask you, and if anybody wants to call in with their comments again this evening, 347-324-5735. One thing I did not know about Rip until I heard Dave Meltzer talking about him, I missed this one completely, but I'd love to know how it worked, if you have any idea.
Yeah.
He invented popcorn that would pop on the cob.
He did. He had the patent for it.
And it what is that about? Because I somehow had missed this, and I'm upset that I have.
Yeah, it was like microwave popcorn, you know, corn on a cob popcorn, and it was very popular for a while. You know, he did very well in that, and that was sort of one of these niche things that Rip came up with while he was in Texas, but. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't real well known, but I mean, it was, you know, they played it up in some of the wrestling magazines in the 80s that, you know, he came up with this little invention, and, you know, it was just one of those things that Rip did on his time off, and he made a little money at it, so Rip the inventor.
I tell you, when you're in the car driving around for all those years nonstop, you get a chance to think and come up with some things like that. And I can only imagine, because I think I hear the music in the background very faintly. I wonder if I was driving around today in a car going to indie shows, what I could actually come up with and create. So no better person to ask than Rule Bob Evans, who is going to be joining us on the line here.
What's up, guys? Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all that stuff. So,
hey,
Merry Christmas, sir.
How we doing? What's the skinny? What's the scoop? What's the what are we? I know we were talking about. I caught you guys on the end of the Rip Hawk conversation. There's a very poignant and funny. You guys might have actually mentioned this, but Colonel DeBeers has a real funny story on. On the Wrestling Observer site, he wrote in to Dave and shared a couple of quick stories about Rip Hawk, and they're pretty funny, but they're kind of touching too. So,
yeah.
And Colonel doesn't, you know, well, you can tell he likes him because if he doesn't like you, he'll tell you that too. So, I'm on the Colonel's nice list so far as I know. So that's good. So,
yeah, but, Rip was very well respected among his peers. You know, and this dates all the way back. I mean. Rip started in the business back in the late 40s, and
right.
You know, he actually trained with the real freaks and geeks of that era, like the French Angel and Ruffy Silverstein, you know, the real tough guys of that era.
Mm-hmm.
So he absolutely came in the right way, and he was a tough guy from the word go. Rip was just incredible. Many, many friends in the business, and he had a lot of friends in the entertainment field as well. You know, he was up in California for a while, made some contacts, and actually was one of Joe Garagiola's best friends too. You know,
that was one of the. I remember reading, because I was a huge baseball fan before I was a wrestling fan, and I remember reading Joe Garagiola's autobiography, and he talked, I'd like to go back and read it now, because it probably mean a lot more to me now. I haven't read it in 30 years, but I remember when he talked about all his friends in wrestling, and I really wasn't a big wrestling fan at the time yet, so
it was
he talked about all the crazy characters, and I know he mentioned Rip Hawk quite a bit in that book, so...
Yeah, Rip used to really, you know, do a little gimmick with him when he wrestled in St. Louis. Joe was an announcer, and he would call him Spaghetti Bender and stuff like that. You know, just rib him all the time. And speaking of baseball, you know, Rip's dad was in the Major League Baseball system for a while.
Oh.
And Rip is actually related. You know, Rip's last name is Evers. So he was related to the famous, you know, Evers to
Tinker Evers to Chance.
Yeah, yeah. And his dad was a trainer for the New York, was a scout for the New York Yankees.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, there's a real baseball connection. Rip actually considered playing baseball at one time, and his brother actually got into it a little bit. But, you know, when he found wrestling, it was all over Rip. Rip was tailor-made for the wrestling business, and, you know, like he told me many times before, if he had a chance to do it all over again, he'd do everything the exact same way.
He well, loved wrestling.
Yeah.
When I listen to Kevin Smith and he gives his obituary, he always ends with big bucket of wind. So it sounds like Rip had a big bucket of wind for his whole life.
He did.
So, yes.
He did.
So... What else is going on? Did Avery get everything you wanted for Christmas? Was Santa kind to him, Mike?
Yeah, you know, I was sitting there on Christmas morning after I sat back. I was just thinking, you know, I think Avery may have snowed Santa. And all this work with the Elf on the Shelf in the last month, I think he may have put on a very good act, because you know what? He was not that good this year to deserve all of that.
He only saved it for when he went to the Baltimore Ring of Honor tapings. That's the only time he was good. He behaved himself.
Well, funny you say that too, because this afternoon he actually said, he's just like, that Ring of Honor in Baltimore? I'm like, I have to find out when the next one's going to be. So
January 5th. January 5th.
So with all this other stuff he got, he's still upset. He's not going to have a chance to go to another ROH taping.
Yep, we'll be there. I think we're there January, February, March. So we'll have quite a few chances. So that'll be good. So, so what else is going on? I've been kind of out of touch. It's been kind of a hectic week for me. So that's why I can't really stay on for too long this week. But
well, Bob, this being our last show until we go on hiatus for a while and everything. I think probably the thing I would love to ask you is just, you know, because, you know, obviously we all know who you are, but there just seems to be, I don't know, a connection with this show, with some of the guys of the past that have been on and things like that.
Oh,
what
absolutely.
Is it with this show that kind of, you know, attracted you to it? Because it's not like, you know, we said, okay, when we started this thing up, we're going to have some guys in the pocket on standby. We got Mooneyham, we got Bob. You know, it just kind of evolved this way, and for you, you know, what was it about this show and about, you know, lesson and the whole nine yards that just made you want to be a part of it?
Well, I will be the first one to admit that when I get interested in something, I want to be a part of it, and I totally invited myself to the party. So it was actually what got me involved was Les. Les and I have been friends for years, and then I always liked when he was on radio shows, so I started listening, and then... Mike, I had known you a little bit from the shows you were doing on the Figure Four site. So I said, hey, it'd be interesting to hear these two guys together. And then Rich, I liked the way Rich hosted the show and everything. So it I ended up really just liking the show and following it. And then just got in touch with you guys. And I think you guys just invited me on one day and I just got on, and then I I almost found a way where I was almost like a cub producer for a while, grabbing you guys some guests when I could here and there, and using whatever I had influence to say, hey, these guys are good guys, and have them on the show, and you know, managed to get you the last Terry Taylor interview before he went back to WWE. So, you know, all this, we managed to do an hour Terry Taylor interview without talking once about TNA, which I'm sure thrilled him to no end. So, but I mean, it was just, you know, and having Buddy Wayne, you know, Buddy Wayne and Les, who were so tied into the Wrestling Observer site, but had never actually met each other or talked to each other. That was kind of a big thrill for me, because I'd become real tight with Buddy, and I don't know if you know, Buddy's got to go in for another heart surgery in another week, so we're all wishing him the best. Should be okay, but you know, stuff like that is always dicey. And you know, he's you know, been a big mentor to me, even though he's only a couple years older than me. But he's always there to curse at me or yell at me if I haven't gone to the gym during the day. And so it was just a cool hang. And like, you know, I spent a lot of time in the car. I spent a lot of time working on my own. My job is very autonomous, so I'm allowed to listen to podcasts and the radio and such. So I just chew right through this stuff. I mean, I chew through a lot of audio. I just and you can learn something. That's I keep telling people. I just shot Kevin Kelly something about Alan Arkin said something in an interview that made me think about wrestling. And it's just, if you always keep your mind active and working, you can always borrow this stuff from people. So I'm a huge fan of podcasts and radio and all that stuff. So I don't know. It's just I like the conversation. I've always liked the podcast format, the long form, where you can talk to somebody for, you know, you don't have to talk to them for 6 minutes and go to a break. You can talk to them for 20, 30 minutes. And while we do have some commercials in here, it's still a limited number compared to, you know, commercial radio. So it's, you know, terrestrial radio, I guess is what they call it. So it's, you know, that always attracted me. And then just becoming friends with you and finally meeting you, Semp, and then meeting Rich out of a weird circumstance. Rich Tate had never been to the area and got called into the area for work, 10 miles away from me. So we got to have dinner with him, and obviously still know Les and still very close with Les. And so it's just, and Mr. Mooneyham, I do hope to meet you someday soon, sir. Love to make your
appointment. Me too.
So,
pleasure's
but
mine.
I mean, it's been great getting to know you on the phone, and, you know, just, and you guys have been a big part of kind of helping me reinvent myself and putting me out there and making me more of a public figure. I've gotten a lot more, Facebook and Twitter followers because of the show. I've gotten people, you know, on my side. I mean, like I said, it's been pretty positive anyway, but it's really helped me too. I mean, that was just kind of a byproduct, but it was just, I was just a fan of listening and just wanted to be a part of the fun. So,
you know, it's funny you bring up that, that Buddy Wayne, you know, with Les, and it is amazing that somehow, some way they've never had a chance to meet or cross paths. And
they sounded like they knew each other for 25 years, the way they were talking.
That's the thing. And that's what I love. One of the other things I love about this show is these are two guys that are, basically from completely different generations. Their minds may be in the same generation, but they are from completely different generations. Yet they're talking about going to the Maritimes and, hey, do you remember this hotel? And even though the times changed, you know, what they were going through as far as working as professional wrestlers didn't. And they followed along a lot of the same trails, and to hear them make that bond and that connection that way, I thought that was one of the other great parts, you know, and is one of the great parts about this show is, you know, that tie from, you know, younger guy to older guy who happened to be, you know, going up and down the same path.
Well, and I got to know Buddy actually wrestled a little bit with my first trainer, Bruce Acosta, who was one of Killer Kowalski's original students. He later on was part of he did a thing called the Lobster Man, where he was on like the Daily Show and acted, you know, like a crazy guy with lobster claws and everything. You know, it was a nutty thing, but he actually wrestled in the Maritimes with Buddy, so Buddy knew him, and that's actually how I got to know Buddy, because I had heard Buddy on Brian's program and shot him an email and said, hey, just want to let you know my trainer knows you and says hello and all that. And then Buddy and I just started talking and became close. Everything's all tied in. I mean, If you hang around long enough, which I'm learning, 21 years in, that's and I'm sure Mr. Mooneyham will speak to this, and I'm sure Semp, you can even kind of you're starting to get to this point too. It's just everybody might not necessarily know each other, but they know a guy who knows this guy, and they can always kind of make the introduction that way. It's a funny web, and it's
yep.
We all have this wacky business that we can, you know, we all have other things that we do, but it's this weird, you know, brotherhood of you know, people. Like I said, it was I was talking to Sean Radican about it last week, and I said Vinnie Marcellia is someone I wouldn't even nod to on the street, but we've become really good friends. I've become really good friends with this kid who's in his 20s and has tattoos all over him and earrings and, you know, this very different lifestyle. I mean, he's, you know, nice kid, but I mean, he's just very different from somebody, but wrestling brings us all together. Wrestling makes us, you know, gives us these friendships and all these wonderful memories. And that's the thing I'll take away from Ringside Rap, is that it's just, you know, it's really been a great bunch of friends and also a wonderful help to just get the word out and tell people that there's still intelligent things to say about wrestling, and there's still people that care about it. And, you know, I know we all have to take a little time off, but I really hope we can kind of get the band back together again, because, you know, it's been a lot of fun for me. Even when I don't get a chance to call in or be a part of the show, I listen every week, you know, so...
That's one thing. We're calling it a hiatus for now, because we all got some things going on, you know, opening up the new year and everything. But that's what my gut says. It's at some point, in some way, we're probably going to be continuing on doing this. Just it'll be a little bit of a break for the new year, which you know, who doesn't need a break during the new year? You got to get all your resolutions down. You got to get those all out of the way. And Bob, I know you said you could be on with a little while for us tonight, but I got to ask you,
yep.
Do you have any resolutions for 2013?
I've already made a very bold declaration. Actually, I will not be making resolutions this year, guys, Mike and Rich. I am making bold declarations this year that I intend to follow through with. So, and the first one, I've already said that I will wrestle in the Ring of Honor ring in New York City sometime in 2013. I've already made that. Already made that bold declaration. I'm going to make that happen. and I also am going to be wrestling more for Ring of Honor. I just feel it in my bones. It's been, my fate has been taking me in that direction. My training's been taking me in that direction. But yeah, we'll be, those are my biggest resolutions. No matter what happens with the current company I keep in Ring of Honor Wrestling, you know, Mr. Bennett, if his future keeps him in Ring of Honor, I'll be with him, of course, stand next to him. And if his future takes him somewhere else, I'll give him a hug and a kiss, wish him well. And I'm keeping my feet firmly planted on Ring of Honor territory, and I'm going to represent, the Prodigy and Team Prodigy very well. So, those are the biggest resolutions I can make. And, you know, aside from being a good husband and a good father and all that good stuff, and a good friend to everybody, hopefully, and just keep mentoring people the way I was mentored, and even better. But those, as far as like the real hard stuff, that's basically what I, you know, what I want to do. So I already, you know, already made plans. Already the workouts are already in place. The diet is already going to line up after we get through this holiday season, and we'll just move forward. Those are the big resolutions. So, you know.
I'm really looking forward to you tying Brian Alvarez in a knot sometime in 2013 as
well.
Well,
Iron Week 2013, the Champions Challenge has happened, and I've already had some very interesting people already step up to the plate. So it's, you know, it's my favorite, and I don't think he'll mind me saying this because it wasn't some big revelation or anything, but Davey Richards was one of the guys at the last Ring of Honor trial and seminar that trained with us. He was part of the training team, and I said, "Hey, Davey, how about doing that Iron Week gimmick with me next year?" He says, "I'll wrestle you next week." So Davey was all fired up to do it right away. He and I hit it off really well. I never really had much time to spend with Davey because we're both so busy, and he's jet-setting all over the country, but we had 2 days to spend together. And, you know, what a tremendous athlete, and what a tremendous, you know, what an intense guy, you know. Very dedicated to giving back to the to training the young guys that were there too. That impressed me a lot. But yeah, if I can get Davey on board and a few other guys, it's going to be a real interesting Iron Week next year. I'm going to try to get all former either world or world tag team champions, you know, and try to get them all involved. So, and I'm going to try to do 8 next year in a week, do 2 on 1 day. So, Got to do it. Oh, you said I'm going to do 8 days, and I can't do 8 days. That's crazy. That's a joke. That's a joke, guys. That's a joke.
Well, only the Beatles can sing about doing it 8 days a week.
That's right. That's right. But aside from that, really, I mean, you know, how about you? How about you, Mr. Mooneyham? Any big resolutions aside from meeting the great brutal Bob Evans? Aside from that, any other?
Well, aside from that, you know, maybe finding some cool new spots to eat. You know,
that'd be great.
Hey, you know what? That's the thing. I think that hopefully, if Iron Week gets set up next year, because I keep making these trips south into North Carolina, at some point, I'm just going to make it into South Carolina. And I think a good thing to do with cinching up Iron Week for brutal Bob Evans next year would be an Iron Week going on at the exact same time between Mike and I, with the exception of we just eat really big steaks every night and see who can eat the biggest steak night
well,
after night.
Now, how about this?
You got it.
I'll tie it all together. Because Steve Carino felt so badly about missing this year's, he wants to do two with me next year. And he wants to do a home and away series. So he wants to do one up here, and then I'll do one. And Steve lives in North Carolina now. So we could all kind of meet in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And we could all have a steak after. Win or lose, we'll all have a victory steak after. So
let's plan to do that.
I love that idea.
That would be fun.
Well, and if you guys want to come up here, I know Jerry Remy, the announcer for the Red Sox, used to play second base for him. He just opened up a place about 5 miles from me, and it's already hopping. So it's right over the water. It's a nice place. So,
hey, Bob's making me hungry now.
Yeah,
yeah,
well,
really.
Hey, I'm just trying to give you suggestions, you know. And if we can actually, the guy we should talk about for new spots is if we can dig him out of his bunker is Jim Cornette. I bet if we promised him we wouldn't talk about any professional wrestling and just asked him about food, we might be able to get some sort of communication on the way back.
I'm sure he would. That would bring him out of his cave for sure.
I told you the last thing Jim Cornette said to me is he loved me. So I'm happy with that. If I never talk to him again, which I hope doesn't come true, I want to talk to him all the time. But if it doesn't, those are the famous last words, right? So
can't have any better.
I'm one of the few guys in the wrestling business that was never yelled at by
cloud.
Jim Cornette.
I say there was a silver lining in every cloud too, and you know, I was a little upset when I heard what happened with Jim Cornette and Ring of Honor going down. Then I'm thinking, you know what? That's plenty of time for him to break out now with Tomato again and start reviewing some things.
It's true. It's true. And you know, like I said, I'm one of the few guys in wrestling that's never been yelled at by Jim Cornette. So and if he quits now, I mean that's perfect because the record will be intact. But
you are on a select list.
I am. I don't know if that's – well, usually, though, the list is he doesn't care enough to yell at you. See, that's what the guys don't understand.
That's true.
So. but, yeah, that's the big resolution, guys, is really would just be to just do whatever I can to make Ring of Honor, you know, bigger and better and, you know, make people more eyes bring to it and make people watch it more and just, you know, help support the new creative team, which I think is going to be really good. And, you know, I feel great about next year. I got, you know, the kids are healthy. My wife still likes me and, you know, everything is
very important.
Yes. All is well on that end. So, but, like I said, fellas, I mean, it's been a blast for me and I really hope it doesn't end. I hope this is more of a pause than a stop. And I hope we can, get it going, and that's my music, so that's my heart out, I guess, so.
That's it.
But God bless you guys, and Les, and I hope Alice is feeling better, and I hope everything is okay on her end, and I hope you guys have a wonderful new year, and Mike, hopefully
you,
I'll see you in Baltimore, so.
Absolutely, Bob. Thank you so much.
Yep,
Bob,
take
it's
care.
Been my pleasure. It's been my pleasure.
Thanks, guys. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Hey, you're welcome. Thank you. Mike, I got to ask you the same thing because there you are. You know, you work on Wednesday nights. You got things to do on Wednesday a lot of the time. And I'm always just honored that people would even want to spend their time on the phone with me whatsoever. I know things have changed in wrestling a lot, and there's a lot of people out there you can talk to, but you certainly don't have to spend your time talking to me. And I know that's not the reason you do it or anything, but, you know, as far as you and being
you
on
hear
the
me
show,
okay, Mike? I've got somebody drilling in the background. Can you hold for just a second?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, I'll be darned. Well.
You got to love it, right?
That's the joys of live radio, but.
Hey, it's always the way. You know, he's working late in the Post Courier building, and you know, somebody's doing construction. What the hell? Let's bring him back up, see what's going on.
I was just about to say, you don't have to do this every week, and you take the time to come here, and then, you know, right on cue.
Mike, are you with us? Apparently he put us on hold. Okay.
Oh, shoot.
All right. Well, I've got his lineup, so maybe when he comes back, we'll hear him.
Mike?
Here you are.
It's been one of those evenings. Little did I know they were going to do construction work in the adjoining room, and I asked them to hold off for just a while, and then when I came back, my phone connection popped. So, you know, hey, isn't this just how this show should
yeah, really.
Take its little hiatus right now?
Actually, we've had much bigger flubs than this. Good Lord, I can remember a few.
Well, actually, I didn't get any of what you were saying for the last 5 minutes. I'm sorry about that. I think we cut off when the noise started and Mike and Bob signed off. But anyway,
we were just laughing at the drilling going on in the office next to you. So there.
Could
you
hear it?
Yeah.
Hear it? Because I knew, you know, I couldn't believe you could still continue because I couldn't hear a word you guys were saying.
Yeah, by the time I figured it was coming off out of your line, I just cut you off completely, and then I just happened to cut you back on when you were saying somebody was doing some drilling in your office. I figured you just maybe had some dental work going on.
Oh, boy, not with that drill.
Well, Mike, that's one of the things I was going to ask you, is right on cue there, too. You know, you spend your Wednesday nights, a lot of times you're working, and,
yeah.
You know, you're out there staying busy doing a lot of things, but, you know, much like Bob, what is it about this show that you like? Because, again, I always feel very honored that, you know, I get a chance to talk to a lot of guys out there, and being, you know, someone who loved media my whole life, you know, in a
mm-hmm.
way I get a kick out of talking to you, you know, about the history
mm-hmm.
of things, and more than even talking about some of the, you know, talking to some of the workers from over the years. But what was it about this show that you got a kick out of and that you enjoyed? Because there's tons of shows out there that talk about history and that do, you know, this or that, but you're on with us, and I've always been, you know, incredibly honored about that. But what was it about the show that kind of attached yourself to it?
Oh, the honor is all mine, guys. I mean, you know, you guys talk my language, and you know, you're also knowledgeable of the business, and more importantly, you've always treated this business with the utmost respect. I mean, you know, I could tell early on that you had a real love for the wrestling business and the history of the business, and you know, this show has always had the coolest guest, and there have been so many shows that have stood out. I remember one show, and I don't know if it was a show you guys were running or Jerry Oates on the other show, but El Mongol was a guest. Do you remember that maybe a couple of years ago?
Yeah, that was on PSP on Thursday
yep.
night. But yeah, just the
yeah.
fact that they had
yeah.
him on, unbelievable.
Yeah, because, you know, I don't know if anybody's talked to him in years, and, you know, he can't communicate that well, and he's up in age, but it was a real treat. And those are the kind of guys you've had on the show. That really, you know, touch a chord with, strike a chord with longtime wrestling fans and people who have followed the business for so many years. And you guys are just great. I mean, I applaud you. This has been a wonderful run. It's believe me, I know how much work goes into producing these shows every week. And, you know, your love for the business really just it shows. And of course, Les and I go back, we go way back, and you know, anything that Les is involved with, I mean, it's all good. You know, it's been a real treat for me to be a fourth Beatle or a fifth Beatle or whatever, you know, joining the show whenever I could and whenever you guys ask me. But I'm going to miss it, and I hope it, you know, we can get it together and start it back up in the not too distant future.
I'm like, really appreciate that. And, you know, if you get any callers too, want to call in 347-324-5735 to their share their thoughts on the show. And we actually have someone from South Carolina area code on the line right now. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man, my man. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Oh, yeah, I'm here.
So, what's your name, and what you calling about tonight?
I'm watching WWE main event, and, you know, I don't know if y'all, you know, really talking about the WWE such. Maybe I came in at the wrong time, but, you know, I would just like to say that just not see my man, Khali, you know, take over and basically win the 20-man Battle Royal, and he's supposed to be facing my man, Tony Cesaro, next week on main event. Does this hurt Antonio Cesaro, as you know that the WWE is trying to push him in that direction to be a top star in the WWE? Does this hurt him with this feud with him and Khali?
Nah, I think, you know, to me, and Mike and Rich, you know, get your thoughts on it too. To me, this would be more of a way to, and this is going to sound terrible, but it's truth. Mm-hmm. Get Khali paid while he's still even remotely semi-mobile. It gives him a little something. And it gives Cesaro a little break kind of right now into planning on what they're going to do for the first of the year leading into to WrestleMania with him. And I think it's just one of those things. He transitions out with R-Truth. He gets another big old comedic character to mess with. But it's just pretty much a time fill.
Agreed. Yeah. They're very high on Cesaro. He's, you know, he's going to be a big-time player at some point. And, you know, I just think they're grooming him for bigger and better things.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I tell you, that's been one of the things, too. There's one most common theme about this show is we've talked a lot about, you know, today's scene, and you know, sometimes it's painful to do it and such. But one of the good parts about this show, too, is we've been able to kind of, you know, stray from, you know, the way deep depths of history, like, you know, talking about the Heroes and Icons book a couple weeks ago with mm-hmm. Steven Johnson, all yep. the way to having guys like, you know, Bob Evans on today, who's wrestling for Ring of Honor and mm-hmm. things like that. I think we've been able to fairly and in a really balanced way, for as much junk as Les gets about being a grumbling old man and this sort of stuff, but there's a lot of truth in what he says. And Buddy Wayne and Lance Storm and other guys have been on to echo those things, but I think we do give, you know, a lot of due and a lot of fairness to today's day and age, too, which I don't think there's a whole lot of shows that have been able to do that, I don't think, at least do it as well as we have.
No, absolutely not. And that's one of the things I really love about the show. You know, you've kind of been able to bridge these different generations and do it, like you said, in a very fair and balanced way. And, you know, I know maybe I come across sometimes as being a little critical of today's industry, but, you know, there are a lot of good things going on today, and I recognize the fact that we can never go back to the 50s and 60s and 70s and even the 80s, and, you know, but things change, and you just have to sort of roll with the flow and respond to circumstances, and there's a lot of good things out there today, but, you know, it's always good to keep the torch burning for the old school, and I think you guys have done a great job doing that.
Yeah, much appreciated. You know, Bob talked about Terry Taylor's last interview before he went up, went back to WWE, and it was a really good one, and it made me think about, if I'm not mistaken, we may have been the last to have Jon Moxley on. Before he was signed for good by WWE when he was still over working with Gabe. Mm-hmm. I think there were a couple situations like that, too, that happened over the time, too. And I thought that was, you know, again, that's one of those little things that, you know, obviously aren't that big of a deal, but they make me feel good because, you know, Terry Taylor was a key one to me because he didn't have to be on this show as much as, you know, he does know everybody that's involved in the Knicks, not counting me, but he's familiar with everybody. He still didn't have to do the show. And he did it, and he could have walked into a minefield. We could have asked a zillion questions about TNA, about, you know, the Red Rooster and this, that, and the other. But we had a great interview that really – I think that was one of the more underrated ones we did, and we didn't have to stoop to that old sort of stuff. And, again, that's another thing that I think we are much different than here, too. I mean, we can get to the point of something without having to take the a ridiculous
yeah.
route or a salacious route or anything like that.
And guys respect that, too. You know, they know when the interview is genuine and, you know, it's not a trap and that you really have great knowledge of the business and respect the business. And, you know, that's why you guys have been so popular over the years.
Much appreciate they're doing it. Rich brought up a couple guys, too. Chris Hero was another one from Ring of Honor. Austin Aries was another one as well, too, but before he got signed up by TNA. Both of those guys actually had a chance to appear here and may have been the last shows they did before, you know, in a podcast form before they jumped on and were signed by the E. So, again, you know, those types of things, it does make you feel good. You know, another one, Jimmy Rave, who a lot of people know used to actually host the show on here and has had a lot of personal issues in the last couple of years, you know, from the time he had left Ring of Honor and went over to TNA. And I thought him coming on here and, you know, he really, you know, told some good stories as well as some really heartfelt things about himself and him coming back and everything that, you know, we've had a couple situations like that, too, that were just, you know, absolutely excellent as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, this has been a really good show, and you know, I'm gonna miss it. That's why I hope something works out in the near future where we can, you know, at least get together and do it once again.
Absolutely, and I think we will too. I mean, you know, J.J. Dillon has been on, you know, several times. Was a great interview. You know, another one.
Yeah.
One of the things you actually had up on Facebook, a picture of a T-shirt of Ole Anderson, which reminded me of the fact that there were two people in my whole life of doing this show, and I've always been, I'm not saying somewhat intimidated, but it's, you know, not growing up, especially in the Gulf, and we'd have on guys that were in that region. I know Les was on the line, but I just didn't want to sound like a schmuck. I got such a respect for the guys in the business and the ones who have come through and for the business itself.
Yeah.
I was mortified, though, to the thought of talking to Ole Anderson and to Jody Hamilton. Ole, just for the obvious reasons of Ole just being that, you know, of being Ole Anderson and...
Being Ole.
Yeah. And when it came to the assassin, I was mortified over the voice. I mean, there's never been a voice that has just for some reason, I don't know, even at this age, 36, and God knows how many years later, it still scares me. But, you know, the funny part about Ollie was, I'm so worried about talking to him and saying something stupid and have him call me an idiot and the whole nine yards. It didn't matter.
Like,
no matter what
beating.
I said, it still wasn't going to be as dumb as what Les said, because whatever Les said, Ollie was jumping on him about.
Yeah. That's just Ollie. You know, Ollie will do ask you a question, right? And if you don't give him the right answer, well, you know, basically he'll call you an idiot, you know? And with Jody, you know, I first heard Jody cut a promo exactly 49 years ago, okay? And Jody still sounds exactly like Jody did 49 years ago. And if you're on the phone talking to Jody, all I can still see is that assassin mask, right?
Yes.
And that was scary back then. You know, Jim Ross told me once that the assassin scared him more than any wrestlers around. He said he really had nightmares after he would watch those guys on TV. You know, he'd stay at his grandmom's house on Saturday night and watch wrestling. And when those guys showed up, I mean, he'd have nightmares watching those guys. And they were very, they did, you know, psychological interviews. They didn't rant and rave and shout. Just, you know, two guys wearing, you know, always well-dressed, wearing, you know, sports coats with those masks and just really very intellectual, psychological interviews. And they were scary. And, you know, when you talk to Jody today, I mean, I still visualize that guy in the mask cutting one of those promos. But he's a really nice guy. And, you know, you won't get the you won't take a verbal beating like you will with Ole. And Ole's fun to talk to. I love talking. I mean, believe it or not, I've had probably 2-hour conversations with Ole. And, you know, you take a beating through part of it. But, I mean, he's really, you know, deep down inside, he's really a good guy and a very unique individual.
Yeah, so we've got just so incredibly lucky. I mean, talk about Jim Ross. I mean, I had Jim Ross on a couple times, too, that I, you know, I tell you.
Yeah.
And Jim Ross, and Bill DeMott, there's another thing, too. Some of the guys we've had on from WWE, you know,
yep.
Rich went and covered some things with the WrestleMania being in Atlanta, and mm-hmm. we had some, you know, some time to talk to some people there. And Jim Ross alone, though, you know, that was like gracing us with his presence or anything like that. But the Mickey Mantle story he told,
yeah.
you know, about being on the small plane and, you know,
yeah.
a short trip. And in that time, you know,
right.
7-7-7s. And
yeah.
getting Wahoo all drunk and taking his money out on the golf course.
yeah.
You know, it was.
Yeah, just, such great stories.
Yeah. You know, absolutely.
I mean, that's what
awesome.
Our business is about. It's about. You know, and I've covered all forms of sports. There's no other sport or even entertainment field that lends itself to such great storytelling. I mean, these guys were real characters. You know, they didn't. They lived their gimmick. I mean, Wahoo was Wahoo. Ole was Ole. Blackjack was Blackjack. No other guys. You know, you say one name, you instantly associate it. One, you know. Just unique individuals with the greatest stories on earth. And I think that's why people become so enthralled with the wrestling business and lifetime fans. And, you know, people still remember when they first watched the show, like Jim Ross, you know, back in his grandmom's house in Oklahoma. You know, those they cherish those memories. And, you know, we'll never forget them. I mean, I remember when I first became a fan. I can tell you everything about the day, everything that happened, who was wrestling. You know, it's something that you just, it never goes away.
That's, you know, again, just the story there about, you know, talking about Jim Ross, about being, you know, terrified, again, me being terrified, and not even knowing that
yeah.
story. But it's, I don't know, it's just something about, professional. I will always love professional wrestling. I will always love talking about professional wrestling.
Yeah.
But I'll always love hearing about it, reading about it, and the whole nine yards. And that's why I think no matter what, even though we've come to the end of the line tonight, and they come to the end of the line
yeah.
for at least a little while, when it comes to the show, I have a feeling again that not only are we all going to communicate via email and meeting up and things
yeah,
like
sure.
that, but I have a feeling that this thing is... It can't go away. It can't go away for too long just because nobody else is going to do it right, and we still have way too much to say.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there'll be another chapter
and
be continued.
Yeah, and this whole thing, I mean, none of it you know, would have happened. Oh, God, and Mikey and I don't know if you know this way back. I'm trying to think. I was doing a little bit of stuff for the Pro Wrestling Torch, so this is probably 2003. I think I had started with the Torch to do TNA, their weekly pay-per-view. They were looking for someone to, you know, just, you know, kind of scribble down what happened,
yeah.
and I was going to
yeah.
get him anyway. I was a big Jeff Jarrett supporter, and a big Jerry Jarrett supporter, by the way, who's
yeah, yeah.
been on the show, but
yeah.
Big supporter of them, so I was getting him anyway, and I started up there, and then Wade Keller said, well, he wants his guys who cover TV shows to start writing columns and, like, opinion pieces, which I thought was ludicrous because I was not internet super savvy then, and I was certainly, as much as I've loved journalism my whole life, didn't feel it was
yeah.
my place to talk about a business that I wasn't in. But
yeah.
I started throwing some things out there, and what I found was I can't talk. I'm not in the locker room. I can't really talk about what's going on there. And, you know, I sound like everybody else, you know, talking about possibilities and stories and things
uh-huh.
like that. It doesn't make any
mm-hmm.
sense. So I tried to go more of the history route.
Yeah,
the only thing that at least I liked, and
sure.
at that time, left, you know, where Rich Tate had started GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and was thinking about starting what was basically a newsletter, a actual newsletter that, you know, if anyone's ever seen them,
yeah.
was actually more of like a little bit of a book. And
okay.
I had a chance to talk to him about the history of the site and everything, and that was, God, 03 or 04, and I interviewed him for
yeah.
there, and all yeah. these many years later,
yeah.
we're still here doing this thing. And you know, Rich, pull you back up from the production studio real quick. I mean, it just kind of blows me away just because I pulled, the first one out and I'm looking at it here. It's like, man, what a long road. Jody Hamilton right on there. Volume one, the September 2003. It's just amazing.
Wow. Been a good run.
Yeah, thanks, man. The whole newsletter thing, of course, came from Scott Teal. I'd met Scott about the same time I met Les, and I really only you know my story. I didn't even watch wrestling for about 12 years. Didn't even follow it. Didn't pay attention to it. Had no idea. People say names now, and I have to go reference them, and I have to go read Wikipedia just to find out who the hell they're talking about. Or maybe Mike's archives. I'll get that plug in. But literally, I had no idea that there were Scott Teal doing newsletters out there, and I was like, man, that'd be great. That'd be a nice supplement to the website. If I can drum up enough guys to maybe do some interviews with and write some historical pieces and. Simp calls me or emails me and out of the blue and wants to do a feature, I guess, to bring a little hype to what we were doing at GWH. And that was awesome, helped our audience grow immensely, and especially the newsletter, which we ended up calling it a magazine because there were about 50 to 70 pages, depending on the issue, somewhere in that range. And we did that, I guess, for about a year and a half before it got to a point where it just wasn't cost effective to do it, at least at that level. So we just ended up putting a stop to that. But years later, when podcasting became something we wanted to toy with, I kind of went down that road at the top of the show. But to be able to pull in Mike, I mean, Mike, you helped do some interviews for that magazine, and that was awesome. And so we go back that far. And then to bring in Mr. Mooneyham and Bob and to fill in slots and this, that, and the other, it's been an awesome run to do Ringside Rap. It's been a hell of a lot of fun. I've given most of, I guess, the last dozen years to Georgia Wrestling History and then Ringside Rap and, of course, various other entities thereof. But, time's come that, we all got things going on we need to take care of, and we're going to go do those. And, we'll reconvene here, I'm pretty sure, in, short order at some point, a little later down the road, but we'll definitely do it, and hopefully all the same people will be involved. I definitely look forward to every Wednesday night, and, it can be a headache from time to time, but it can be a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah, I tell you, I don't want to sound too mushy or anything like that, but I really do, and I'm not lying to you. I think I put this in the email last week, and definitely just want to say it too. I really love and respect, you guys, both of you guys, Les Thatcher as well, and, again, and a lot of the guests that we've had on this show too, because it has been a big personal thrill for me to be able to not be the Japanese wrestling guy or be, Meltzer's guy or anything like that, and just be what I really always wanted to be doing this, which is just a big, dumb wrestling fan who likes to ask dumb questions because I really love it that much. And I really, again, I really love and respect you guys, and I thank you so much that you asked me to come into the fold and to help you out and to, represent you and all the hard work that you had put in, because, again, I don't think people really realize the amount of work over the years that you've done for the shows and for the website and the historical stuff. And, Mike, I mean, again, your resume speaks for itself, and for you to come on and to do this with me, it really is an absolute honor, and I really, really thank you and appreciate both of you very, very much.
Well, the feelings are mutual. I love you guys. This has been a tremendous ride, and I've enjoyed every Wednesday night I've been able to be on the show with y'all. It's really been a pleasure, and I'm saying that from the bottom of my heart. You guys have done a tremendous job, Rich, putting all of this together. You just can't imagine the treat it's been on Wednesday nights for fans to be able to tune into this show. And I hope it comes back at some point, but I'm sure we'll all be in touch. And, you know, we'll do something down the road, but you guys do me one favor, okay?
Yeah,
keep those shoulders off. Keep those shoulders off the mat, okay? Please.
Absolutely. I got to chime in there, too. Just, you know, basically, you know, to say the feelings are mutual all the way around, and Les has made that clear as well. And there's just a huge amount of respect between the five of us, and I like to think that you can't keep us down. We will be back. Maybe a little different format or a little retooling going on, or, hell, maybe it might end up being the same thing because, you know, at the end of the day, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Absolutely.
But, you know, I do, you know, I mean, you know, you guys were talking earlier about, you know, what sets us apart, and I think it is kind of, you know, a really good blend. I think we do a good balance every week of trying to make sure we talk about all the things that are relevant going on in the scene today. Maybe sometimes somebody like TNA gets left out, but that's just the nature of the beast, and Ring of Honor doesn't maybe get talked about as much as they should until, you know, unless there's maybe an IPPV, Internet Pay-Per-View, whatever the hell you want to call it going on. You know, maybe we don't get enough MMA talk in for those listeners that tune in. But, you know, we do our best to stay relevant, talk about what's relevant, but also bring in a nice blend of guests to make sure that we get as many of the old school guys as we can. Because, you know, let's face it, let's be honest, they're not going to be with us forever. And to be able to have them come in here and join us and, you know, just get their comments, get their stories down on you know, just get that documented. That's it's awesome to have it. Mike, you do it just about every week where you've got somebody, you know, at least, you know, once or twice a month, you've got somebody from the old school you know, where you either mention them or you at least, you know, if you're not featuring them, you're at least mentioning them and bringing them up and keeping them out here in people's minds. And, you know, let's face it, that's important. You got to keep that history alive.
Yeah. It's what I do, what I love doing.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I don't see us going away for long. I just see us getting away for the time that we need to. And, you know, who knows? When we come back, maybe it's just not a hard schedule. Maybe it's, you know, as we can. Maybe it's not always going to be a Wednesday night. Maybe, you know, it's a different night of the week or something. You know, but you know, we'll work it out, and we'll get back, and we'll bring folks what they've, I guess, come to expect on Wednesday night.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll just show up in another territory wearing masks, right?
That's
yeah.
We'll show up wearing hoods. Nobody will ever know who we are. We'll be back.
We're going to meet the law and be on there next week. You won't know what's going on, and we're not going to let you know anything, but something's going to be real familiar.
Yeah, we'll have Mr. Delmarva and Mr. Post and Courier and
you know, that would be great for me at least, because being Mr. Delmarva, you pull the mask off, you're thinking it's me. Nope, J.J. Dillon.
There you go.
I can just see it right now. Somebody with a Post and Courier mask, a la Charlie Brown, you know, Brown from Out of Town, eating at some, you know, restaurant somewhere. Who is the mask guy?
Yeah, but really, I think it's got to be Mr. Post Courier Mark IV or something like that. Just some, you know, some crazy stuff.
Well, everybody, too, you know, if you want to get, obviously, we're all on Facebook, too. We always forget to hype up those things sometimes during the week. But Les Thatcher, Rich State, Mike Sempervivi, Mike Mooneyham, all of us on Facebook, if you go and you search our names. Most of us also on Twitter as well. Obviously, Les isn't, but at Sempervivi on Twitter. And, you know, again, if you guys have anybody out there, too, if you have any suggestions for us or comments or anything like that, at least do it when it comes to me. Feel free to hit me off on there.
Absolutely. And you know, if you want to know the hot restaurants to go to, stay in touch with Mooneyham on Facebook.
I'll keep you up to date.
He can recite the menu of every restaurant in the Carolinas, South Georgia. All right,
well, gentlemen,
guys,
again, Mike,
it?
Hopefully your night doesn't get too much longer there with construction going on.
I know, it's coming. I've warded it off this long.
What do you got coming up?
What do I have coming up?
Yes, sir.
This week, probably we'll do something on my friend Rip Hawk. Yeah.
Okay. And we'll throw out there, too, for people, Brian Alvarez and I, 99.9% sure we're going to be back this coming Sunday. The Wrestling Observer Live 6 to 8 on Sunday on the Sports Byline Radio Network. Just go to WrestlingObserver.com to find out the details there. And Adam Summers and I, too, just coming up here on January 4th, the big New Japan Tokyo Dome show. We should be around doing something with that, if not that day, very shortly afterwards, too. So just wanted to throw that out there as well. And you know what, Rich? This has been your baby, so I don't know if you want to play us out here at the end, sir. But, again, I want to thank you so much for letting me be a part of all this stuff.
I wouldn't have had it any other way, having you be a part of it. Yeah, just, you know, hey, thanks for everybody for tuning in all these years, and keep looking for us. We will be back at some point, I'm sure. And, of course, you can always hit our various websites. RingsideRap.com will still be functional, so stuff will still be out there. Archives will still be up. GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com will continue running for you fans that want to check that out. GWHNews.com, of course, for all the latest going on in the Southeast. Not just Georgia, but, you know, the surrounding states. And, well, I don't know, Twitter and Twitter for Ringside Rap and GWH mostly died because I didn't have time to keep up with it anymore. I was too busy reading stuff from Mooneyham on Facebook. But, yeah, definitely want to say, you know, pass along our best wishes to Alice and Les, and hope she recovers well, and hope she gets back on her feet soon. And, you know, hope they did manage to have at least a decent Christmas given the situation. And, well, Happy New Year to everybody, and hope everybody's 2013 goes well. And that's it for me, Mike. I'll let you sign it out.
Nah, hey, good enough there, too. And, again, you know, Les, very fortunate you couldn't be with us, but our hearts and prayers are with you. And something tells me you'll be yelling at us again soon enough anyway. So everybody, again, you know, hey, let us know what you thought of the show, what you think about the future, and go ahead and let us know. And at some point, we'll be back. I don't know if we'll be on Wednesday or not, but I have a feeling at some point we're going to be back with Ringside Rap. So until then, everybody, good night.
Listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.